The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So do electric vehicles have short lifespans? Are they subject to short ranges, to expensive charging? Is there difficulty with finding places to charge them? There are some of the questions, some would say the myths surrounding EVs. Joining me now ahead of the electric vehicles show, which is coming up, I think, Sunday week, to answer these questions is Derek Riley, who's partnerships director at Nevo. First of all, is that right? Sunday week, Derek?
Sunday week.
Sunday week in the RDS.
In the RDS, Simmons Court, yeah.
Let's then look at some of the issues, because EV sales are not what the government would have wanted in the most recent figures, down fairly significant. And there's been, people attribute a whole range of causes to the reluctance to jump into EVs. Let's look at some of them. First up, the belief that that electric vehicle batteries have a short lifespan.
Not the case.
How long? That's,
probably 15 years is what we're seeing. Some of the first EVs that are out there are still out there and maybe not at 100% capacity of a battery. But if you have a 15-year-old engine, it won't be at as efficient as it was the day when it came out of the factory. So what we're actually finding is that battery is lasting longer than the actual vehicle itself. And so what we're finding is people are utilizing that battery then in a second and third and fourth life, maybe for storing solar panels, energy from solar panels, converting classic vehicles, putting a bigger battery into an older EV, because the technology has moved forward, the same size and shape will fit the same slot.
But the 15 years is at the longer, like, is I would have thought the 10 average is more where we're at on
but what, even the 10-year-old, the guarantees from some of the manufacturers now, like Toyota, are given a 10-year warranty, KGM are given a 10-year warranty, a vast majority of them are given an 8-year. But that's not a, it'll fail at 10 years. It's, they're saying that the battery will be at 70% operational capacity at 10 years.
Now, what does that mean for the value of the vehicle? Because if I have a 10-year-old petrol or diesel engine car, it might still be worth 18 or 20 grand. If I have it with a battery pack that costs 15 grand to replace and the potential buyer is looking at that, is the value of my car now close to zero?
See, costing 15 grand to replace would be, is it a battery that can be replaced by cell or module? You don't have to actually replace the whole battery. So understanding what kind of EV am I buying, do a state of health report on that battery. So how did Anton charge it? Was he good? Was he bad? Etc, etc. But the report, the data will show you Anton's car actually has 80% battery left. And then you can ask, okay, what's the warranty if I buy it from a dealership or an independent garage? What will it cost me for to replace the battery? But it's like 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. You hear the odd story here and there, but there's so many EVs on the road now, nearly over 100,000 dedicated electric vehicles in the Irish market. Very few of them are getting batteries replaced.
But we are hitting the point in lifespan where that's now going to happen. I mean, if you look at when they hit the market, it was what? It's only about probably less than 10 years ago that we saw the big uptick in purchasing.
Yeah. Nissan Leafs were launched in 2010. So 14 years for Nissan Leafs. And what we're finding is people are taking out the smaller, less range battery and putting in a larger battery into the same form factor. So you're upgrading the battery. Can't really do that. Well, you can if an engine goes in a vehicle as well. And so there is wear and tear on lots of parts, whether it's electric or whether
it's
combustion.
And how much would it cost to do a Nissan Leaf battery?
So depending on whether it's the cell. So it could be 100 euros per cell, it could be a pack, it could be 1,000 euros, or it could be 7,000 euros to upgrade the battery.
So again, if you have a 14-year-old Nissan Leaf and you're throwing 7 grand at it, you're underwater effectively,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, but it's your total cost of ownership, your running costs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's down to the individual. If that smaller range works for you, it could work for you. You might need to upgrade the battery.
What then about range? Because that's the other issue that people talk about a lot, because particularly in the early days of EVs, there was concern about how far they could go. I assume range is no longer a big problem for people,
really.
Is it?
I used to do a thing called Coast to Coast where I live in Dunleary. My family home is in Balmullet in Mayo, 318 kilometres to get from the east coast to the west coast of Ireland. And there used to be a thing, Anton, like you're saying, will it make it? Where do I have to stop and charge, etc. I had a car at the weekend, the Polestar 4, and I drove from Dunleary to Galway to Balmullet, and I'd still had 70 kilometres left. And so my bladder doesn't last that long, never mind the car.
Well, what about the provision of chargers then? Because there's it's rarely a like-for-like comparison in that if you're going to do a long journey in an EV, you first thing you do is make sure that it's fully charged before you leave the house.
Very good.
If you've got a petrol or a diesel car, you leave the house, when the light comes on, you pull into a petrol station, you fill it and you go. What about that? The availability of rapid charging stations. What are the numbers like now compared to where they were a couple of years ago? How many do we have?
We're at about 1,700 fast charging destination points. And we're, yeah, you wouldn't think it. I'm after getting raised eyebrows here from Anton. But joking aside, and there's another 41 charging hubs in planning and building at the moment.
So that's 1,700 fast charging points.
Fast charging points.
Now, how many of them are in the classical garage? I'm driving along the road, I can pull in and use them. And how many do I have to dig my way through cities and find a parking spot that hasn't been taken?
The early generation hubs were mainly around those petrol stations, so where people go. But there's new systems, and sorry, new grants coming available where sport clubs could put fast chargers in. And so there may be off the beaten track a bit more, but that coverage of chargers, every single day fast chargers are coming online, every single day petrol and diesel stations are going offline, and so there are more and more chargers out there. But if it's the range is big and then the fast chargers are there and more of them are coming, it becomes a non-issue.
How fast is a fast charge?
You can go from 10 to 80% in some models in 18 minutes. So that is 350 kilometres. So you pull into the charging station, plug in the car, walk away, walk in, restroom, coffee, walk back out again. You've over 350 kilometres put into your vehicle.
Now, is there an issue then in the overlap with where they're being put? Because as you described the locations for them, they're often in the spots that don't have the kind of services that garages would have. So you mightn't have the bathroom, you mightn't have the coffee, you're just sitting in the car for 20 minutes looking out the window.
More people then are starting to choose. So the market's going to decide, because of these charge point operators are starting to select where they're putting these charging hubs, people are going to say, well, I won't stop at that one, I'll go another 10 miles down the road or 10 kilometres down the road because I know that has amenities, toilets, coffee, whatever it may be. So they're starting to understand the consumer is going to go footing with their feet, where am I going to charge? The amenity has to be there.
What then about cost? Economically, are they at a point now where they can stand on their own two feet against ICE vehicles without subsidy?
Price parity. We're starting to see it. So, for example, the brand new Peugeot 3008 electric price and the hybrid price, exact same price. So you can make the decision then, do I want that safety net of having an engine and a petrol tank as well? Or will I just go full electric? And so Peugeot and other brands are starting to say, which one do you prefer?
Now, but is there any, is that rebated? Is that given any kind of tax treatment to get that price parity? Or is that a straight fight?
So that is so the grants are already been taken off at the dealership. So you don't have to do in it then. They're working away in that in the background. But the sticker price is like for like with the current grants.
Are we heading towards a point, or is it feasible that we get to a point where sticker price is like for like without grants?
Yeah, price parity. We're starting to see vehicles coming in from other countries, other markets, where they're going to be cheaper than petrol or diesel. Yeah, another raised eyebrow from Anton. And so that's what you can see, some of the tariffs that are coming in from the European Union saying we don't want too many cheap cars coming in, affordable cars I like to call them, because it'll hurt the motor industry in the European Union. But the consumer, we benefit because we're getting more affordable electric vehicles.
Which presumably is, if it occurs, it is the game changer that the industry wants. Because if you throw a couple of subsidies on top of a vehicle that's already slightly cheaper, now people vote with the feet.
That's what it's all about. And we're going to have a couple of launches at the show on Sunday week where more affordable electric vehicles are going to be there, sub 25,000, sub 20,000. Already in the United Kingdom, they've sub £15,000 electric vehicles. Maybe not the biggest range in the world, but if I need it for a second car or I only potter around town, it's a no-brainer.
Why then is this not landing with the people? We've got a text to say, go on Dundee, look at the prices of second-hand EVs. The depreciation is shocking. There is no trust in that market.
I don't know where these people are coming from, because we're finding that on average an electric vehicle is only taking about 8 days longer to sell on a forecourt. And so Dundee would usually...
But is that new or second-hand?
Second-hand.
And what age would that be?
So average 3 to 4 years. So a fairly new
so
electric
second
vehicle.
Second owner.
Yeah, exactly. But 8 days longer. And so these talks about depreciation. Now what that texter is talking about...
What happens
about,
if we go to the 8 or 10 year mark?
As in how long it takes longer?
Yeah, as in if we've got a 2016, if we've got a 2014, are they still holding their value compared to
what we're finding
combustions?
Is Nissan Leafs, which would have been the dominant vehicle at the time, yeah, because people want them as their second vehicle. They understand that total cost of ownership, it's cheaper to run, fuel prices fluctuating, sometimes higher, sometimes lower. You know exactly what you're getting. And if you've got solar panels, technically you're getting free fuel.
Now, you mentioned earlier on the thing of battery retirement. Battery retirement is you take this battery out of an electric car when it's 10 or 15 years old. It is no longer performing the way that it was when it was new, but it still stores electricity. There's a lot of stuff talked about how they can be used in houses, how can they can be used as domestic storage. Is there anything like the infrastructure available to really make that a practical reality right
more
now?
More, yeah, so what's happening is manufacturers want those batteries back. because it's the large part of that purchase price of the vehicle. So they'll actually bring that battery back as well. And so what we're seeing is a lot more of these manufacturers are offering recycling of that battery. 94-95% recyclable. So the minerals and the materials and the metals in that battery are so valuable. There is an economy there to actually.
But to some extent, that is what that I think is the assumed and predicted life cycle of a battery. The thing of the retiring them into continued use is slightly counterintuitive, but is it happening?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
There are people in Ireland taking the batteries out of electric vehicles and connecting them to their houses.
I saw somebody, Hannah Daly, professor in UCC in Cork, upgraded her Nissan Leaf battery, and the old battery is taking solar panel power.
Is she completely alone in this?
Not at all.
Or are there thousands like her?
I don't know if there's thousands, Anton, but there's definitely people out there that are utilising that battery. I have a project idea myself where I want to utilise an old battery to upgrade a classic car into an electric vehicle.
If people want to see, you said the EV show, RDS.
November the 10th. Free tickets, November in Evo.ie, you can come along. We have over 80 electric vehicles, commercial, small, big, large, affordable, expensive, and two stages. And there's going to be over 14 new car launches.
Derek, thank you very much. Derek Riley, Partnerships Director at
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.